Thank you, choir. Awesome music this morning, wouldn't you agree? Appropriate for an Easter Sunday when we gather to celebrate and acknowledge that the tomb is empty for Christ has arose. But it's not just Easter Sunday that we gather. We gather on every Sunday because we are a resurrection people. We acknowledge through our choosing of Sunday as our day of worship that day is important to us because it signifies the completion of the story to an extent and are looking forward to the second coming. Because if we did not have a resurrection, the birth and death on the cross would have no meaning. Don't you agree? So we gather here knowing that we gather in churches around the world or in places of worship to worship the risen Lord and Savior because we acknowledge that there is a tomb somewhere, but there is no Christ in that tomb. We gather here and acknowledge that, and He is amongst us, and we gather acknowledging that He will come again. Don't you agree as well? Our scripture passage this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John. And I want you, as we prepare to read the Word this morning, I would say that if I were to walk down in the aisle of the church and say, tell me this Easter story, you could tell me the Easter story. Within some, you'd be pretty close. We'd be the Easter story-ish. But if I were to do that, I would start seeing everybody moving to the sides of the church and everybody looking, don't look at me, Pastor. Don't look at me, Pastor. I know there are some ministers in our congregation and, you know, I could say, hey, you know this story. You should be able to say this. But we come to church sometimes thinking, well, we already know the story, so I can just check out. The pastor's gotten up on the chancel. He's putting his stole on. You know, this is a great time for me to take a little nap, but it's not. Because when you'll see in the gospel passage today from the Gospel of John, that familiar story that may be familiar to you is slightly different in John. And all the gospels tell it slightly different. So when you come to a gospel passage that you think you know, I want you to throw all that away. Because, you know, if you look, my sermon title today was Empty, Changed, and New. So I want you to come to this scripture passage. I want you to empty out your brain, empty out everything you thought you knew about this passage, and listen to it for the first time, afresh and anew. May you see how it is changed from what you may think the scripture passage is to say, and then may you go from it seeing it in a slightly new light, as I will share with you in my message today. So it comes to us from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with the first verse. Let us now listen for the word of the Lord. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stopped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and when he saw, he and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood what the scriptures said, that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stopped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angel asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't ascended to the Father. But go and find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Then she gave them his message. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we can hold your word in our hand and we can proclaim it in our tongue and hear it aloud from the church today. We give you thanks that you pour your spirit out upon this word so that it can be illuminated and show us what it is that we are to learn. Show it is what we are to do. Show us who we are to be. Heavenly Father, as we gather around your word this morning, pour your spirit upon every nook and cranny of it. May we be refreshed and restored and re-energized to do exactly what the angels commanded of the women at the tomb on that first Easter, to go and tell the others. All this we lift up in the powerful name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we all say, Amen. Now, I know we've all had these moments, and I would say that as I get further and further away from my birthday, I'm having them a little bit more frequently. Because you see, you go to look for something that you know you have left it at a certain place. You go to open the cabinet or the drawer or the box or the glove compartment and say, I know I put it in there. And you find out that it's not there. And then you start panicking, especially if it's something really important. You're like, well, what happened to it? Where did it go? But then, like me, I have three small children. So I start thinking of which one of them moved it. Or sometimes I may blame my wife or my mother-in-law or others, saying I wouldn't have moved it. Sometimes I found out that, yeah, I did move it. I just don't remember moving it. I refuse to call it one of those kind of moments because I don't think I'm there yet. But having gone through that, I can imagine what it was like when the women went to the tomb on Sunday morning to look for Jesus. They weren't going there just to say, hey, what's going on? Let's see what's going on. You know, what was happening? They were going there for a specific purpose because part of their custom was to go and anoint the body with fragrant oils and incense and various things, because after 3 days, a body don't smell too good when it's in the grave. So they're going there because they have a specific purpose to go there, a specific reason. But also, too, they were there when they put Jesus in the tomb. Think about this for a second. The only time the disciples agreed on anything was at the foot of the cross, and that was that they weren't going to be there. I don't think any of the disciples saw him placed into the tomb. I think that the women were there. They followed Christ to the tomb. They watched him put into the tomb, and now they are coming back to anoint him with oils and incense and fragrances and to do what they were called to do by their custom. And so they round to the corner and they get to the tomb and find that the stone has been rolled away, and they get there and Jesus is not there. Now you can imagine their reaction. I could imagine my reaction if I were to go there saying, I'm looking for somebody that I know is there because I watched him put him there, and then he's not there. And they're probably looking at each other going, oh, what'd you do with him? What'd you do with him? Did you do something with him? And they start asking people. It's amazing how in this scripture passage we see where they're a bit perplexed and they run to find the other disciples and to say, we went to the tomb and he is not there. Because this was a big thing. Because part of it is, you know, they knew that he said that he was going to be rising from the dead. They heard that part of the story. How many of you think that they really believed it? And now they're getting to the tomb and Jesus is not there. And then you have this interchange with the angels. I think I would be a little bit unnerved by the fact that I'm going to anoint my Lord and Savior with oils and fragrances, and he's not there. And now you have this visual of the angels in the tomb, and the angels appear, and it seems like anytime an angel shows up in the Bible, they always start out with the same phrase, do not be afraid. Because I would have been. If I were there realizing that Jesus is not in the tomb, And then I start seeing angels in there. I'm going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. I think I better get out of here. And the angel says, be not afraid. And the angel shares with them the good news of saying he is not here because he has risen. And I almost have the view that the angels didn't have to yell this. They just said, hey, Jesus isn't here because he's risen. I don't think it was a big shouting. I think they were very calm, trying to keep the women calm, trying to keep them at a place where they weren't panicking. And then they go and they have no idea what to do. The angel in one scripture passage instructs them to go and tell the others. In this scripture passage, we have the women standing at the tomb and Jesus is standing right next to them, and they don't even know that it's Jesus until Jesus looks at Mary and calls her by name. And then the light bulb goes on and she goes, Rabboni. You know, the scripture passage, we've heard it year after year. Every time we come to a church on Easter Sunday, we hear the same old story. We hear the same story played out all through Holy Week. We come into Palm Sunday, we see Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. We come into Maundy Thursday and we have the Last Supper. We see Good Friday and the day that he was crucified. Saturday, we kind of take a day off. Sunday, we come to church for Easter and acknowledge that he has risen from the tomb. Because I'm a firm believer in that. I'm a firm believer that there is a tomb somewhere in the Holy Land, whether it's the one they say it is or not. I know that there is a tomb where they took Christ off of the cross. They put him in that tomb. And if you were to go to that tomb, and if God himself were to say, this is the tomb that my son was laid in, that tomb would be empty. Do you agree? That's why we're here. We believe that. We know that to be certain. We always say as Christians, we know that Christ died on a cross and he rose again because we live it. We come to believe that. But then I think about why we come to believe that. You know, when you think about it, that empty tomb that was there on that first Easter morning changed the lives of those people that arrived there that morning looking for Christ. It changed them so much that the angel said, had to give them some instructions. He said, go and tell the others. Think about this for a second. The reason that you are here this Easter morning can be traced back all the way to that first Easter morning. Because had the women not had gone from the tomb to do what the angel told them to do by going and telling the others, those others would not have told you. Let that sink in for a second. You are here because somebody 2,000 some odd years ago did what they were told and went and told the others. And as to borrow from a commercial from the 1900s, they told two friends and they told two friends and they told two friends and so on and so on and so on and so on. And you are here because those women went running from the tomb, running down the road, sharing the news with everyone that they met that he is not here. For he is not there, for he has risen, and that percolated all throughout the millennia, and now we are gathered here on Easter Sunday. Wow. And we know that the gospel message does. That gospel message that starts with, we worship a Savior that is resurrected. He is not dead. He is alive. He is sitting and ascended into heaven and sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That gospel message makes us new, just as it made them new on that day. They went to the tomb to anoint a dead body, and they walked away with all of their wares still in their hands. I probably would have dropped them at the entrance to the tomb. I probably would have just sat there and went, and there would have been oil and incense all about my feet. But they went there to anoint a dead Savior and came away knowing that the Savior was resurrected and he was alive. That newness, that new gospel message is what resides in us when we believe. So I see when we come to this message today, whether you come here as somebody who believes, and you're like, Pastor, I got it, man. I know the story. I can answer all the questions. Yes, no, Jesus, and it's a mystery. I can do all of that. Or whether you're on the other side and you're still thinking about, hey, I'm still a little perplexed about all this. My jury is still a little out on this preacher. That's a pretty good story, but I've never seen anybody resurrected. I've never seen anybody crucified. I don't know what you're talking about. I can't figure it out. It works the same for both. Because if you come here because you know you need to be here because the gospel message is that important to you, you cannot come here without recognizing that there was one time in which you were empty. Where you were sitting there and what you had was absolutely nothing. And then you came and the gospel message was shared with you and it changed your life forever and made you a new creature. Just as though there was an empty tomb that changed some people and made them new, that empty tomb changes you and makes you new again. And if you're here because you're saying, well, I'm not there yet, Pastor, I don't think I can go with you on that, I'm here to say that that empty tomb represents the promise that was made. Because the tomb is always empty because God did exactly what He said. So if you're here and you're wanting to know exactly what this whole gospel message is about, because of that empty tomb and because of how it has changed others, we can share with you how it will change you and make you new. And I can share with you that you can challenge your brothers and sisters that think they got it all together and say, didn't the angel tell you you were to go and tell the others? So when are you going to come tell me? That's the Easter story. That's really what it is. And I hope that when you come here, that if you came here thinking that you were going to hear the same old thing, preach the same old way for years and years and years and years, that you got something new out of it. I hope that when you leave here, that you take it to heart that the angel told the women to go and tell the others that you are changed and you are new with your encounter with the risen Christ. And if you haven't had that moment when Christ has called you by name and you have responded to Him, Rabboni, I tell you, it can happen. But I'm also a firm believer that sometimes you can't just stand up and say the story over and over and over and over and over and over and over again and expect people to get it. Sometimes you have to change it up a little bit. So I'm going to change it up a little bit this morning. I'm going to give you something new, and hopefully you'll learn from the newness in this. And I'm going to encourage you, we're going to get to a point where you're going to hear some familiar words sung in a familiar tune. You can sing along. It's okay. You've already done it. You said hallelujah, right? Well, you said alleluia. There was no H in it. But now we're going to put an H in front of it. You'll recognize the tune, and I invite you to join along with me. And as the lyrics are being sung, I want you to look at this story afresh and anew. I want it to change you. I want it to empty you of everything you thought and send you out into the world as a new creature, doing exactly what the angels commanded you to do, commanded them to do, to go and tell the others. A crown of thorns placed on his head, he knew that he would soon be dead. He said, did you forget me, Father, did you? They nailed him to a wooden cross. Soon all the world would feel the loss of Christ the King before us. Hallelujah. 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 He hung his head and prepared to die, then lifted his face up to the sky, said, I am coming home now, Father, to you. A reed which held his final sip was gently lifted to his lips. He drank his last and gave his soul to glory. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
soldier who had used his sword to pierce the body of our Lord said, truly, this was Jesus Christ, our Savior. He looked with fear upon his sword, then turned to face his Christ the Lord, fell to his knees, crying, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Took from his head the thorny crown and wrapped him in a linen gown, then laid him down to rest inside the tomb. The holes in his hands, his feet, his side, now in our hearts we know he died to save us from ourselves. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 3 days went by, again they came to move the stone, to bless the slain with oil and spice anointing. Hallelujah. But as they went to move the stone, they saw that they were not alone, for Jesus Christ has risen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.